joie de vie, ménage toi.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Well, good afternoon, Boston. How the hell are you? And surrounding areas, we are Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion, Ted Johnson. And you can call us at 617-779-7937 or listen to us on the Odyssey app. Press that little microphone and launch us a take grenade. And welcome to the end of times.
Yeah,
it is post-apocalyptic outside.
It's yellow.
We are living in sepia tones. So I saw somebody was the best meme that I saw coming in. It's like, it looks outside like the opening of Predator 2 when they showed Los Angeles.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It really looks awful.
Dude, the sun looked so strange last night with all the smoke, too.
It, yeah.
Man, like it was like a different tint. Like, you've seen all the Road Warrior and the you know,
right.
movies recently, and it just the smoke and everything looks tinted,
yeah,
in a certain way, right?
I tried to run in it today, and that was the worst idea
really?
Ever. Like, it burned my eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's weird. It's like, if you have allergies, it makes them worse. It F's up your throat. It I think that hasn't every meteorologist basically said, if you step outdoors today, you're an idiot. It's like worse than as if it was like 110 degrees. Like, it can completely F up your body. I believe it. When is this supposed to go away? I know this is the fires from Canada, right?
Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking up where in Canada.
And it's in the jet stream, north of Minnesota.
North
coming down through the jet stream.
Man, yeah. Think about that. How far we are from Minnesota.
Right.
And that's how far the smoke traveled.
Oh, I remember when there were the fires on the West Coast. Didn't we get some here? Like, that was right around COVID, I think. Yeah. It was really, really bad. It's amazing how that stuff can travel. But either way, you know, we'll all suffer the end of times together. You know, we'll face the apocalypse head on and enjoy a little bit of World Cup soccer that's going to be on. By the way, somebody who I know who works kind of around the numbers people says to me today that Argentina is not even going to score, which
really?
Means they
Jeez.
Absolutely will score today, because anytime anyone gives me kind of an inside tip, it's never right. But they say that Argentina's time has come. All these games have been so close that shouldn't have been close,
mm-hmm.
and it is going to, if it's not an ass kicking, it's just going to be a shutout.
Interesting.
In regulation.
Interesting. NLX taking over the world sport as well. I'd be curious how they get to that, but Argentina has been kind of living on edge. They've been scoring a lot late
yep.
in games where you just, you know, so they've been living on the edge. I'm curious, something I find very fascinating, if we have the same maybe version of the game that we saw yesterday.
Oh, yeah. 2B channel with a player focus.
Yeah, it's just they just focus in on one player the whole time. It will be the most boring telecast today, because the guy that has covered the least amount of ground,
yeah.
so they have trackers on all these players.
Uh-huh.
They can know how far they've run in these games. The guy that has the least amount of ground traveled is Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Yet he's the leading scorer. A goal a guy in the tournament, so mm-hmm. he's scoring the most with doing the least amount of work.
Yeah, he's like Brady. He's smart. He throws the ball away. You know, he's like, what, he knows to conserve his energy.
That's right.
You know, that's why he's lasted in the game for
yeah,
so long. And it is kind of funny, because even a dude like Haaland, you know, from Norway, you know, you've seen, you know, the moments before he scores one of these unbelievable goals. A lot of times he's just like moping around the field, just kind of waiting like a shark, and then all of a sudden he goes 0-60,
yeah.
boom. Headbutts it in, and then he scores. But, yeah, from what I hear, and I'm rooting for Argentina, because I love the Scots so much. An enemy of theirs is an enemy of mine. So screw England.
All right. They'll be insufferable. Yeah, if they pull this off, England will be tough. Do we have a sounder today?
Well, we had one yesterday when we started the show with Menage a Trois.
We'll figure one out. We got to get one there.
Oh,
yeah.
You're counting on Stiz Jackson to figure one out by 3 o'clock.
Well, we
Jackson,
do. Ken and I did come up with something, if you guys want to hear. So do you guys want to hear what we'll play if England, and this can be fluid if we want to change it.
Sure.
This is not the best idea. This is...
All right, England.
Oh, boy, this is...
We should just have Jackson doing an English accent.
Pretty much sounds
like today is gonna be the day that they're gonna throw it back to you.
No, that's too appropriate, because that's their song. They sing that, and it's so awkward, too. They put their arms around each other, the whole team, and they sing to the crowd, screw England.
All right, so that one, all right, we're going to have to find a backup. Please text in or hit us up on Twitch if you have any suggestions. And then for Argentina.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is going well.
Yep.
Right,
don't cry for me, Argentina.
Okay, I like that. I mean, that's just, that's on the nose.
That song gives me weird memories because, like, I grew up in a super Catholic household. My mother hated Madonna. Madonna. Like, I mean, we canceled MTV because Madonna was on there, which pissed me off so bad. And when that movie came out, Evita, it was like her favorite movie. And I was like, what happened to all this? Like, she's the Antichrist. Yeah, but she sings great in Evita. Completely did a 180. So, yeah. So, okay, sure, fine. You know what? Let's just have Jackson do a British accent. How about that? All right? Tea and crumpets or say something like that.
I don't think he's Jackson's accents I don't trust.
There's nothing I trust more.
Really?
Yes. You've got an hour to work on a Jackson. We will do that because that's when the game starts, and we will obviously keep you updated on all that. But there was some sports that happened last night, Stiz.
What just happened?
Sports happened.
Oh, yes. And Sports Happened is brought to you
by Patty LaBelle.
By Patty LaBelle and Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. Boo this, you battery-throwing, kid-hating Philly fan chuds.
2-2 Contreras smacks it through the vacated right side for a two-out hit. I think about the Mets a couple years back. They had a terrible start. Diamondbacks, year before that. Rangers were terrible midway through 23, came back and won it all.
Yeah, yeah. Crowd not as into it as they were at the All-Star game, or at the Home Run Derby. But it was a perfectly fine sporting event last night, the All-Star game.
It was subpar, let's be honest. Well, as much as I like the Derby, it was not... This thing's hanging on by a thread.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, listen,
I mean, it has been for a while.
Sometimes great events get boring results, but, you know, at least the sound was working properly, and you didn't have to pay to watch it,
That's true.
The Home Run Derby. Well, Wilson Contreras had a single there in the sixth, a nice off-balance play to end the fifth. That was good to see, and Aroldis Chapman needed just six pitches to get two outs in the ninth, striking out Monday's night's Home Run Derby champ. By the way, he has thrown 5 2/3 hitless innings across 7 All-Star appearances. Mm-hmm. He's just been unbelievable. And, of course, Rafaela replaced Mike Trout in center in the fourth, went 0-2, and said it was a dream come true, but it was a very boring dream come true. So do we have Wilson Contreras afterwards? That was the one interesting. Do we have any – because I know that he just continues to talk about how much he loves being on the Red Sox.
Our own Bradfoe caught up with him, and he did have something interesting to say.
Yeah, we hear this.
Don't bother talking about a trade involving me because my plan is to stay here. That would be accurate?
Yeah, kind of, if you ask me. But okay. I mean, I didn't say don't ask for trade. I was like, I told him, like, I would trade something to stay here. that's what I said.
Can you?
That's quite confusing.
Translate that for me. I'm sorry.
Dude, I was going to ask you this question. What does that mean? I would trade something to stay here. I don't know what he's trying to say there, but I think he's just basically saying how much he loves playing for the Red Sox. I think it didn't come out probably the right way, or maybe how he meant it, but because I don't really know exactly what he meant there.
Because the original report yesterday that we were talking about on the air was that he had told the upper management that he would not give up his no-trade clause to go anywhere else.
Right.
That sounds a little different to me, and I'm not saying that he's all of a sudden backtracking. It just doesn't sound as emphatic,
correct,
as that first report.
When you say kinda, you know, that's a bad sign. Although at least we know they communicated on some level. Somebody from the front office came to him and said, "How are you feeling about the trade deadline? Would you waive the no trade clause?" Right?
Yeah.
So they had a discussion. So the Red Sox front office is engaged in some degree of planning. That's good. Because we heard the owners were making calls, and then nothing happened.
Yeah.
So I guess they're talking, they're thinking about all their options. But yeah, when he said, "I didn't say don't ask for a trade."
Yep.
It's not like he's on the fence. It's at best, you know.
But I like the fact that he's actually speaking about how much he likes the Red Sox.
Yes.
You know, and I wonder if this would have been the same conversation a couple of weeks ago, you know, had the All-Star game, you know, been back then. And everything's changing. There's a good taste in their mouth, and they're a great story, and he's obviously riding off a high of being very impressive in the Home Run Derby, and now he's the face of the organization. So, you know, it is a strange place to be if you're a star player on this team, because nothing is a given. You don't know right now whether you are more like the team you've been recently or the team that you were back then. I got to think that they've got reasons to question upper management. Maybe, just maybe, they've got a little more faith in what's going on because they like Chad Tracy so much, and maybe some of these guys weren't big fans of Alex Cora. So to that case, they might think that some of them might think management is on their side. I don't know as much about the relationship between Wilson and Alex Cora, but I know a lot of the younger guys probably prefer to have a dude like Chad Tracy.
Now, why do you think they didn't like Cora? Why was he against? Because he was thought of as a player's manager, like, but that's, and a veteran kind of player's manager.
He liked the older players. Like, that's one thing that seemed to be fairly clear. I mean, the way that he even called out a lot of the younger guys at the beginning of the season, and it might have been Bradford who seemed to like intimate that as well. But we talked to somebody to where Cora liked the older guys.
Right.
But some of the younger guys and the way that they do things, he wasn't a big fan of. And as I said, I don't know where Wilson Contreras stands on all of it. But I do think that there might be some players on this team that might be giving management a little bit of an attaboy because they like the fact that they changed things up and brought in Chad Tracy.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who seems to be more of a player that can identify with these young guys and worked with a lot of them. You know, some of the ones that came up from Worcester. So
as far as the hitters go, it might be just I hate to bring Driveline back again, but it didn't seem like they were going to fire Cora's hitting coach. Cora said, if you fire him, you're firing me. Mm-hmm. They took him up on that offer.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a guy in the clubhouse that liked Driveline, you probably are a fan of this. If you didn't and you were sort of old school and you were with Cora, you might not have liked it. It might be like a player-to-player thing. It's hard to tell.
But the Driveline, they're still employees from Driveline still here.
Right,
maybe just not the head of it, but they're still... My feeling is they're still teaching those same principles.
No, I think even more so. Yes.
Yeah.
But John Soteropoulos is their hitting coach, and he's a Driveline guy.
But I almost think opposite, and that is that, do you think that maybe when the whole Driveline thing went away, they had less in their head now? Like, when they got up to the plate, there were less voices in their head, less people on the team telling them how to do one thing or the other, and they felt looser, and psychologically they were able to hit better.
That could be, because Kiner Falefa did complain about that, too many people at Fenway.
Yeah.
So maybe at least there's fewer voices, options.
I also think, guys, and I'm curious what you guys think about this, is that there's players that come here, like an Alex Bregman. If you listen to Alex talk about the Red Sox midway through his time here, it was nothing but love and just respect. I think guys come here, and Wilson was with the Cardinals last Cardinals 3 years prior.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's supposed to be a great baseball town too. But I think you get here and fans, you get you start playing well. He's having a career year.
Yeah,
fans love you up. You just kind of get intoxicated by going to the ballpark every day in Fenway and playing well and playing for these fans that you start talking. Like he does.
Yeah.
But what if the Atlanta says, we want to trade for Wilson Contreras, and they go to him and ask him, and the Red Sox in a month are back to where they were, don't you think he would want to chase a ring?
Yes.
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 Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So that opened the door to me. If that happens, Wilson could be out of here. Still.
Things can change. Right now, they're in a place where he feels good about where he is. He's, as I said, he's riding a high of being the man. He's the face of the Red Sox, and that part seems to make him happy. He likes it. And when they put a microphone in his face, he's going to say all the right things because he's just in a good headspace. By the way, somebody on text said, if you remember after Cora got fired, Contreras did say that it felt like a weight was lifted off the players and that the tension was gone in the locker room. I don't remember that at all. Does anybody remember that?
I don't know what to dig. Look that up.
Yeah. And somebody said, well, younger guys like Cora, the ones on the IL? I mean, that's a decent point. But either way, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing to... it's a good storyline to keep your eye on, is what Wilson Contreras thinks about staying on this team. And I really, just like you guys, we all seem to agree that it's dependent on how well this team does up until the trade deadline. Because if they're out of it and they slip back to what they were, that he would completely waive his no trade clause. The guy wants to win.
Yeah.
He's a competitive dude.
17 games before the
17 exactly until August 3rd trade deadline. So, yeah,
it's a lot of
games.
It's an interesting batch too, because as I was saying the other day, it's like a barbell. You've got your bookended with some really tough teams. Obviously, Tampa Bay is going to be a kick in the ass, but then you got 3 versus Baltimore, not very good. 3 versus Toronto, not very good. 4 at the Athletics in Sacramento, not very good. And then you got 3 against the Dodgers. And then you do the White Sox. So right up until the trade deadline, it's about 500 baseball that you're going up against if you total them all together. So we'll see what they end up doing.
Which I think they went 6-6 last year into the deadline, and the year before they went 3-8, something like that. So they have not, in the last couple of years under Cora, really taken advantage of this or made it obvious going into the trade deadline how good they were.
Well, we'll learn a lot more, and we'll be able to hopefully decipher what they're going to do. I know that there's scouts telling a lot of reporters that they want the Red Sox to go all in this year, which I like. That's what I want. Please. Yes, thank you. Don't half measure. We've got enough of that over the past several years. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're going to, if you are Craig Breslow, you are fighting for your job, do something drastic. Please. I think these players deserve it after what they've done over the last several weeks. All right. 617-779-7937. There was one thing controversial about last night's game, and it had nothing to do with what was on the field, or at least during the game on the field. Let's get to people who had the biggest problem with the pregame entertainment. Let's get to that right after this. 2 minutes. We'll be right back.